Today on The Journey with Steve DeWitt, a lesson from 2 John 3.
We live in a day where our media is filled with people with their flamethrower burning the church down. And when you see that, I want you to think to yourself, the Apostle John would never do that. In fact, he does the opposite with the imperfect church, the elect lady that I love.
When truth and love collide, which one wins? Today on The Journey, Pastor Steve DeWitt reveals how 2 John calls us to embrace both without compromise. We'll discover how the Son of Thunder became the Apostle of Love, and what standing at the cross teaches us about valuing Christ's church. It's a conclusion of a message titled, A Loving Pastor Speaks the Truth, an introduction to 2 John. And if you'd like to access the full message, you can listen online at thejourney.fm. Here's Pastor Steve DeWitt.
2 John. If you've been here for very long, you know typically we're preaching and teaching through books of the Bible. And whenever we start a new book, we always spend some time on the backstory of the book. To understand the backstory is vitally important to getting right what is written. Now, unlike many books in the New Testament, the author of 2 John doesn't give his name. So there is debate about who wrote the letter. I believe that the person who wrote it, the elder as he describes himself here, is in fact the Apostle John. And I think most conservative scholars think that. Who did he write it to? Okay, notice again the text, verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children. Again, I believe the best option here is to understand lady as a kind of collective description of a local church. He writes it from the city of Ephesus, and he's writing likely to an affiliate church there broadly in Asia Minor because he is addressing a particular problem that we'll get into as the series goes on. So quick summary, who wrote it? John wrote it. To whom did he write? A local church in the area of Ephesus. The why of his writing we will discover in the weeks ahead. My task today is to focus on verses 1-3. And I start with application point number 1, that spiritual maturity loves and respects the church. The more mature you are, the more you will love and honor the church. The last living apostle, the example of what spiritual maturity looks like, this one that we should learn from looks at this local church and calls her the elect lady. The last living apostle writes a letter to a church filled with problems. Okay, this is not a perfect church. If it was a perfect church, you wouldn't have to write him the letter that he does. This is a very imperfect church. And yet, in spite of the problems, John says, the lady that I love, spiritual maturity, loves the church, honors the church, respects the church of Jesus for reasons that we'll get into, doesn't drag the church through the mud. No, it is the lady that I love. That's application number 1. That's what spiritual maturity, how spiritual maturity views the church. Here's number 2, that Christians treasure the church. Why? Because of the gospel. He says, all who know the truth that abides in us. In other words, it's not just an intellectual knowledge about these things. No, it is living in us. It is abiding in us. And if it is abiding in us, we will, like John, see the church as the elect lady that I love. So why do we love an imperfect local church? And the answer to that is that the truth of Jesus abides in us. In other words, we do it for his sake. We love the church of Jesus because we love Jesus. He is the savior of the church. He's the hero of the church. He's the leader of the church. I mean, imagine with me somebody that, you know, you're talking to them and they go, oh, I love, 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 love Walter Payton. Oh, Walter Payton. Love that guy. What a running back. I watch replays all the time of his moves, his best runs. I've watched biographies about him. I can't get enough about Walter Payton. I hate the Bears, but Walter Payton, Michael Jordan. Oh, if only he was still playing. I love Michael Jordan. I got posters up in my house of Michael Jordan. I watch replays of the games that Michael Jordan played in. I can't get enough of Michael Jordan because I love Michael Jordan. I hate the Bulls, but I love Michael Jordan. You'd be like, wait a second here. Why? Because if you love the leader, you love his team. And Jesus is the leader here, and the church is Team Jesus. And so we love the team because we love the leader. You with me there? And that is how John can write a letter to a very messed up church and say, the elect lady that I love, and to say it sincerely. I'm gonna sit on this point a little bit. Too often, people think little of dragging a local church through the mud, privately or publicly. I have too often been, even with pastors, you know, these pastors' gatherings or pastors' conferences or whatever, you get behind the scenes with pastors. And I have been surprised at how often the pastors speak disparagingly of the church of Jesus or their church in particular. I wonder, can you love your wife and disparage her to the guys? Do you go public with your issues with your spouse? Or how about Christians who drag their church through the public or private mud because they don't like this or that? This non-gospel issue, it's not quite to my liking, and so I'm gonna air my things. Is it too soon to talk about the COVID pandemic times? Oh no, don't go there. Oh, I'm going there. I'm going there. Do you remember? It was only a few years ago. I look back, that was a sad time for the church in America and the evangelical church in America. Think of all of the disparaging and criticizing of churches and pastors that filled social media. Do you remember? That church is crazy. That pastor is insane. That group of mask-wearing or not mask-wearing heretics. And in 2 John, we have actual heretics loose in the church. And John still calls her the lady I love. Why does he do that when so many others disparage the church? I remind you that John was there. John was there. John was at Caiaphas' house in the courtyard as Jesus is inside the house being interrogated and beaten. John was in Jerusalem during the flogging. John stood near Jesus as Jesus hung crucified. John no doubt saw the blood dripping off his toes. John heard, I commit my spirit, it is finished. He was there for all of that. And apparently seeing what Jesus did to save the church makes you long-suffering toward the church, redeemed by the blood off the toes. And I say this because we live in a day where our media is filled with people in print, social media, with their flamethrower burning the church down. And when you see that, I want you to think to yourself, the Apostle John would never do that. In fact, he does the opposite with the imperfect church, the elect lady that I love. Now, I know you're all ready for the next application point, but I want to sit on this one a little bit longer. I can hear some of you say, but there are problems in the churches, and my role is to point them out publicly. Really? Are there problems in your marriage? Do you point those out publicly? Are there problems? You're like, I don't want to die. So no, I don't do that. Do you treat your family that way? No. The elect lady that I love. And I want to say here that this is the nature of love. Love endures all things. Love hopes all things. Love sees potential. Love nurtures. Love doesn't tolerate heresy. We're not saying that. And John's going to write some very challenging things here in the letter. We're going to see it in a few weeks. So he is speaking the truth in love. There's no like weakness in John at all. But love hopes all things. And John here, I think, provides an apostolic example of tender, enduring, long-suffering love for any imperfect church that you're a part of, including this one. For nearly a year, I've had on my desktop, maybe you do this as well, if I hear a really good quote I want to kind of meditate on, I'll type it in there, and it's always, every day I kind of see it, and it helps it sort of, I can mull it over that way. For almost a year, I've had a little quote from a hymn entitled, "My Song is Love Unknown." And here it is. "My song is love unknown, my Savior's love for me." And here's what I have on my desktop. "Love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be." Isn't that beautifully said? Love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. Who is that talking about? It's talking about God. When did God love us? When we were lovely? No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we see this kind of divine love at work, where love loves the unlovely, believing that the unlovely can become beautiful. It hangs in there. And the Apostle John does that here, right at the beginning of the letter. And I think he shows us what spiritual maturity looks like by affirming his love for an imperfect church and treasuring that church because he treasures the gospel of that church. So I urge you to love the church. Love it for Jesus' sake. Love it for the sake of the gospel. And that love will do more to improve things than all your snarky comments online ever could. And I have no one person in mind, by the way, as I say that. Well, maybe a few, but do you see the point? Okay. All right, let's move on. John ends the salutation section here by saying, "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love." Now, we don't write letters this way, but this is how they wrote letters in the ancient world. And if you read Paul's letters, he often has little sort of doxologies like this where he will say similar things. And it's easy when you're reading through the Bible to just sort of skip those, you know, like, oh, that sounds familiar, but I'm just gonna skip over these things. Don't skip it, okay? Don't skip it. Grace, mercy, and peace. What is grace? Grace is God's favor towards us, not based upon our performance. It is entirely unmerited favor towards us. How does that sound to sinners? Wait, there's two more. Mercy. Mercy is God restraining his swift justice for our sin. He doesn't give us what we deserve. How does that sound to sinners? Amen. And then peace. Objective, full reconciliation with God, as well as that internal assurance within our soul that I am at peace with God. How does that sound? Amen. One commentator, grace removes guilt, mercy removes misery, peace expresses a continuance in grace and mercy. And where do these come from? From God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Amen. All right, application number three is that truth and love are not enemies. They are friends. Truth and love are not enemies. They are friends. If you look at this text, just a quick note, you realize that truth is mentioned four times in three verses. Love is mentioned twice. It's inferred a third time. Why is that? Well, if you read the rest of the letter, and we did already this morning, but as we preach through this and teach through this, we're going to see that this is the main point of the letter, that Christians in the church are to love the truth and love one another. Okay? Those are the two main points. Apparently, they were failing to do both of these. They were failing to love one another, and they were certainly failing to love the truth. How do we know that? They were allowing false teachers in the pulpit, and they were housing them in their homes. They were feeding them. They were promoting them. They didn't love the truth enough to say, no, you're not going to be allowed to teach that here. Truth is essential, but so is love, okay? It's both, truth and love. I remember years ago, I was at a pastor's conference. I realize I've already had a pastor's conference illustration in this message, but bear with me, because that's what love does. I was at this pastor's conference, and a well-known pastor was addressing all of the pastors there, and he said, you know, we got right doctrine around here. Our problem is we can't get along with one another. And I was there with a friend, and my friend leaned over, and he whispered this to me. He said, since when is love not a doctrine? Stood out to me. How true. Love is essential, and so is truth. They both are. Now, I say all of this, and my burden here today is that we live in a time and a society where there are so many people that are dragging churches through the mud, dragging Bible teachers through the mud, burning churches down, saying all manner of things on social media, and these truth warriors are everywhere. It's hard to find love warriors, but it's easy to find the truth warriors, especially online. Imagine some of these truth warriors if they were to write a letter to the church that John is writing to. So here is their version, 2 John. Here's the first verse. What's wrong with you people? Here's the second verse. I'm right and you're wrong. And on it would go from there. And you know what? In today, this will get you a lot of people clicking to listen to you. It will garner you a lot of attention. If you will condemn and if you will, you know, nitpick on some thing. These people that condemn everyone who doesn't agree with them, they sound like great prophets. But since when is love not a doctrine? Now, I say that, you can fall on the other side of the horse as well. Let's be honest, if you're all love, no truth, you know, that letter would sound like, hey, let them preach. It's no big deal. We don't want to hurt their feelings. You know, let's all just be copacetic. Let's all get along. Okay, that's not what he's saying as well. It's both. It is love and it is truth. I like what Stott says. So the Christian fellowship should be marked equally by love and truth. And we are to avoid extremism, which pursues either at the expense of the other. Our love grows soft if it is not strengthened by truth, and our truth is hard if it is not strengthened by love. So what is John pushing for? The perfect harmony of truth and love for others. Now I ask you, who does that sound like? Perfect love, perfect truth. And here we end with Jesus. Is this not part of why we're drawn to him? He spoke the truth like nobody else. He was himself the truth. And yet, he loved us by giving his life for us. Perfect love, perfect truth. These two come together. And I will just say that if you are here today, and maybe you're being tweaked on one side or the other, maybe you're the truth warrior, and out of your mouth, you know, blah, 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 in the comments after the service, blah, 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 down with the church. Get on your soapbox. And maybe you're tweaked going, I should be a little more loving. Yes, you should. Or maybe you're on the other side and you are more of a, let's just all get along and not worry about the truth. You know what? There's a little something in 2 John for you as well. But I say this to encourage you regarding John. Do you know that John and his brother James had a nickname? Do you know what their nickname was? Scholars, can you tell me? Okay, first service, nobody knew nothing, but this service. Great, that's right. Sons of Thunder. Do you know how they got their reputation as being Sons of Thunder? They were very quick to bring down judgment. Here's a great example, Luke 9. Jesus and the disciples, they're near a village, and the village isn't interested in what they, doesn't want them to come in and all the rest. And so James and John go to Jesus. This is in the Bible. James and John go to Jesus, and they say, would you like us to call down fire from heaven and consume them all? That was John, Son of Thunder. That Son of Thunder becomes the apostle of love to the elect lady that I love. How? I think it has a little something to do with standing in front of the cross and seeing the blood come off the toes and to realize the price that Jesus paid to redeem the church. And in that moment, the value of the Church of Jesus Christ rose, and he never got over it. And he calls us to truth, but he calls us to love. A final word. I'm not sure what I would write if I had the opportunity to write a letter to this church, Second Steve. I don't know if I would start it off with the elect lady whom I love, but I want you to know that I could. Such is my affection for you. I am totally blessed to serve here, to do church with you, to pastor here. You make it easy to love you. So thanks for being an excellent church. You, the elect lady that I love.
You're listening to The Journey and the conclusion of a message titled, A Loving Pastor Speaks the Truth. To replay the full message, visit us online at thejourney.fm or subscribe to The Journey podcast. Well, here at The Journey, we're dedicated to proclaiming the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And in today's lesson, Pastor Steve explored 2 John, revealing a profound truth. Spiritual maturity is reflected in how we love and honor the church. Like John, we believe truth and love are not enemies, but friends. When the gospel abides in us, we treasure Christ's church despite its imperfections. We love the church because we love Jesus. It's that simple. And your support of The Journey helps us spread this message about grace and truth and Christian community. When you give to this ministry, you're not just supporting a radio broadcast. You're helping listeners across the nation discover how to walk in truth while loving Christ's church. With your partnership, we're able to continue teaching God's Word faithfully through our radio broadcast, online at thejourney.fm, through our podcast, and social media. Your gift enables us to reach those who need to hear that, despite our imperfections, we're deeply loved by God. As John wrote to an imperfect church, grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ. This promise sustains our ministry, and your support makes it possible for others to experience this reality. Join us in this mission by calling 844-7-JOURNEY. That's 844-756-8763. Or visit thejourney.fm. Well, I'm Tim Svoboda. That's all our time for now. But be sure to join us tomorrow when Pastor Steve shares another challenging lesson from our series, Little Letters for Big Faith. Discover how seemingly small deviations about Jesus can lead us dangerously astray, and how to recognize and resist those who oppose his true identity. That's Friday on The Journey. Today's program was produced and furnished by Bethel Church in Crown Point, Indiana.